Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange. With Stank Dog and Wintermute.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zips, sits. Dedicated to the hackers and...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio. This is episode 6, 7, 8, 9?
6.
6.
6. 6.
And the voice you hear, of course, is...
Tribute!
In the house!
Hose.
That's like your slogan. It's like your trademark now.
In the house. I've invented so many symbols like Segway.
Segway.
I have nothing else to say.
I, of course, am Stank Dog.
In the house.
In the house.
Intermute.
Very distinctive redneck country voice, I guess. So, I'm sure.
Trademark violation.
We have a lot of stuff to go through tonight, so I think it's probably best if we just jump right in. And probably the best way to start off is by... Well, first of all, let me put on the timer for the show. We've already missed a minute here because I didn't start my damn timer. So now I have to try to watch a minute early. So that's your job. You have to remind me, even though I'm the one with the timer.
I have a mental note.
Okay. Anyway, we have been requesting show notes for the last couple of episodes, and I gave some time to get all the submissions in, and I think we're ready to announce a winner. And we are going to, first of all, we'd offered to give out an @benrev.com address. We're going to give the person credit on the website, of course, for writing the notes. And when they write the notes for this episode, it will say, winner of notes announced. The winner is me. And they'll be able to put their name in there. That'll be kind of a little recursion joke there. Actually, I had a front runner last week that I thought was going to end up winning the job. And someone submitted some good stuff this week. And I think we're ready to go with it. So,
drum roll, please.
For the people listening in IRC... I bet you this person is chilling in IRC if I know them.
He's just there.
I wonder if I do a drum roll on the desk if it's going to blow the microphone all to hell. Should I try?
No, well, no, I'll give it.
The winner of the official show notes writer for Ben Rev Radio is our good friend, Hack and Slash. Hack and Slash, congratulations.
The young kid strikes again.
Or should I say, this is your punishment that you're going to be writing show notes.
Ooh, the young kid strikes again.
But yes, very good stuff. We will be putting those up ASAP, putting them on the site probably. When I put this episode up for download, I will probably go ahead and put his show notes up, which obviously I won't have them for this episode by then, so show notes will be basically delayed by a week. And I guess the email address is going to be not a big thing because he already has one. So we don't have to give him anything, right?
No, I think he's set. I think he just gets punishment.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm sure we'll find something for him. Also, a topic from last week. I want to, whenever we have a topic that I hear new news on or an update or a change on, I want to bring it back up. And last week, we were talking about spam filters and whether laws or filters were going to work better, etc. And I think you and I both mentioned or both agreed that maybe it was coincidence or whatever that we weren't getting as much spam lately. A lot of it seemed to be being filtered out, especially with my web accounts, you know. Well, I guess we spoke too soon. I don't know about you, but I got a lot more mail this past week, a lot more spam, a lot more junk mail this past week.
Spammers are listening.
I guess so. But the funny thing is, again, these spam filters, they're trying to figure out what is spam and what isn't spam. And I got the damnedest thing, this the weirdest. I got an email in my inbox, and I'm referring to my Hotmail account. I got an email in my inbox with a title. I got two emails. One of them was filtered. One of them was not filtered. They were identical emails other than the subject line. The content of the emails were exactly the same, but the content was different. I got something in my inbox that says, "Girls who squirt when they are excited." Got right into my inbox, no problem. I was sitting there with all my normal mail. But for some strange reason, girls who cream when they're excited got blocked by the spam filter. So what's the message there? I mean, if the spammers are listening, I guess use the word squirt and you will get by, but if you use the word cream, you get blocked?
I think it's more of a if this word structure than a single word. So I think they saw girls and cream and thought no.
Well, I can't think offhand of a valid email with those two words in it. Girls cream, unless I like work for a dairy.
Yeah, no, so that's what I mean. So that's how they're gonna block. Girls squirt guns.
The squirt made it through, so girls squirt. Yeah. Who sends an email? Have you ever seen, heard, or known anybody that has sent or received an email about girls in a squirt gun?
No, but you never
okay.
know.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's open.
Yeah, I don't know. These filters sometimes are just, I don't get them.
All right, this is what I want everyone to do. I want everyone to go make a SourceForge account, and I want everyone to rewrite the SMP protocol.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's a simple chore. That ought to take them, 10, 15 minutes?
No, this could be easy, guys. Just slap some stuff up, you know?
Right.
Easy. That's all you got to do. Just make sure you block anonymous remailers. You had to figure out a way to stop remailing.
Now, I'm sure that they've got a good way to stop anonymous remailing. I mean, that shouldn't be too difficult.
So
I mean, it would take some time coding-wise, but concept-wise, it's not. But what about the compromised accounts, compromised servers?
True. Then it's worse, but...
Yeah, you're just SOL. There's nothing you can do about those until after, you know, you can react, but you can't...
Come on, stop. You're never going to block spam. Just give it up.
Yeah, I think that's... probably true, as much as I hate to admit it. At least you can minimize it, and that's what we talked about last episode, so if you missed it, go back and check that one out.
But since you missed that episode, you lose.
Yeah, it's over. It's done. I mean, you had to have listened to it live, well, pseudo-live, while it was streaming on rantradio.com. If you didn't hear it right then and there, really, it kind of loses the effect. But, thanks to Hack and Slash, we're going to have show notes now that you can go back and look stuff up, because... frankly, I mean, all the time. I think there's even a story tonight that's kind of a follow-up of something we talked about on RFA before. So, you know, you can go back. We always refer back to the previous mentions of these to see how the story has changed and developed and you know, what's happened since previous episodes. So that's something that I like. I like going back. I even go back and listen to our own shows to see, now, wait a minute, what was the story back then and compare it and what has happened now and where do we stand on all this stuff? So it's definitely reason to have the old episodes up for at least as long as possible. So right now we have plenty of room, and we're not in the RFA situation. They've got, you know, 500 episodes or something out now, right? Aren't they like 501, 502?
Yeah.
So they got a lot of episodes out, so they got some space issues, and mirrors help out a lot, and hopefully we'll last long enough to be in that situation too. Let's move on to some email. I got a couple of good emails this week. One from Cracks. he suggested that regular listeners know that I'm a cheap ass and I don't have a good phone. I don't have any services or features or anything on it to do three-way calling. We can't really do a lot of phone calls or social engineering or stuff on live while we're recording because I'm a cheap ass. And that's something that we do on RFA anyway. That's something that's more geared towards that show. But he suggested that perhaps I can use the internet. He mentioned a specific one called Flat Rate, I think it was. But just generally using the internet as a way of having more people on or more guests on, and not even using the limits of my phone, not even using the phone company at all. That sounds like a good idea, and we actually discussed that before we ever started with the show, but frankly, the quality is not there. The quality of this voice is going over the internet, at least software-wise through computers and through using these software applications, is not there. Now, we've also discussed in the past the Vonage and, Packet 8, I think, was another name theory had tested.
They're good, you know how they work, cheap phone service. The problems lie in the fact that we can't do it since we need an extra computer downloading all this stuff since we're sweet because we record on one computer, along with the fact you can't three-way on any of this stuff. It's a one connection. So you can't flash the switch hook and say, get up another person because it's physically impossible.
Yeah, we were very excited to try to start using that on RFA because the long distance and stuff starts to add up, and with those devices, it's a lot cheaper and would have helped out a lot. But, yeah, they don't have the three-way, so it kind of defeats the purpose. And again, the software ones that you interface with your computer with, they just have a lot of problems. There would be a lot of logistic problems. How do you record and run one bit of software talking while I'm also running the same software package to record? There might be some input-output issues. I might have to use two or three computers together here to make it happen. And then again, the bottom line is the quality that you'd be getting coming through there, because you got the danger of packet loss too.
Yeah.
Now, if we drop somebody in the middle of the show, I mean, I guess sure that can happen in the phone, but I mean, not as often as it would happen online, I would imagine.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we did actually think about that. We discussed it, and they're just right now it's not quite possible yet. I really still think that Vonage and those type of things are a great idea, and they are useful for a lot of things, and I hope that a lot of people start latching on and using them, because as they do, they will grow and develop, and they will start adding those extra features that we need, and then I would gladly jump on if they were to upgrade it and give me the features I need. But right now, they're still startup, they're still fairly new, so... Yeah, I hope they do take off and do well, and then that would be a great solution for not only us on the show, but for everybody. I mean, it would just be an alternative to the monopolistic phone companies. And no, I'm not going to go into a rant on that. I think we all know where I stand on that.
All right.
I got another email, and Mute, this is probably something you can add a lot to, because this is a follow-up. This came from Jaga. And it's a direct follow-up to our conversation last week, which I found very enlightening, on RFID. And we talked about generally what it was and how it worked, but we also talked some specific details of it as related to American Express and a new project, a new thing that they're rolling out. And basically, what he mentioned to me, what he pointed out, was that their RFID, 13.56, is actually under the Part 15 rule, or Part 15?
Yeah, Part 15. It's a part of the FCC's rules, the Federal Communications, whatever, I don't know.
Commission?
Basically, what Part 15 means is a bunch of rules, like law in any good government, such as the United States of America, that dictates policy on what happens with the airwaves around the United States of America.
All right, they're the ones that say that we're not allowed to listen in on phone calls. They're the one that says these bands are reserved for police department and fire department, et cetera, et cetera.
What they do is, when they thought, oh, wait a minute, we can use these radios for something interesting, they sat down and they thought, we got to divide this up or people are going to go crazy. So they took all the bandwidth, divided in megahertz, or any simple mean. That's all. Usually all the band plans you find are in megahertz. And they tell you, this frequency to this frequency is for this, this to this is this, so on. Well, part of it, being a ham radio operator, I can operate on certain parts of those band plans that have been reserved for me.
And only for ham operators.
Exactly. So, a certain point, say 144 megahertz to 148 megahertz is what a licensed ham radio operator can operate on at 2 meter band. It comes from the name 2 meter because 144 megahertz is roughly a 2 meter wavelength of a radio wave. So from crest to crest or trough to trough of a wave to approximately 2 meters or 6 point whatever feet. I hate metric. Anyways, so you get that. Now other parts are police.
For the record, I love metric.
Okay.
I think metric rocks.
Okay.
It's much more logical than you know, how many feet in a yard and how many inches divided by... Yeah, screw that. I like the base...
Throw up on it, so...
Yeah, I like a base 10, thank you. I like the base 10 system. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyways. Other parts are reserved for cell phones, so on. Other parts aren't... Nothing is done with it. Such as, I think there's laws that say... such as, the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum. No one owns that... Well, whatever that area around there, I don't know if this is specific numbers. You can find a list search for FCC band plan online. You'll find billions of band plans.
Yeah, but isn't 2.4 Wi-Fi?
It is, but it's not licensed. Whoever produces it can do whatever they want with it. That's why you have Wi-Fi. They have some wireless phones, intercoms. So much stuff runs on it that there's no one person owns it. It's unlicensed. Up to a certain point, you can't enter... I'll take that back. I think anyone can do whatever they want with it. So here's where Part 15 comes in.
Well, wait. Before you go there, let's stick with this with 2.4 just to clarify something here, because basically what you're telling me is a standard emerged because obviously wireless took off, 802.11 took off, and we started developing and using it. But technically, it is not reserved via the FCC to only be used by manufacturers of wireless products.
Yes.
Or, excuse me, wireless networking, I should say specifically. That is why, as you mentioned, cordless phones. So some of the 2.4 megahertz cordless phone, that's why you have interference, and that's why tech support always tells you unplug your phones and, you know, make sure there's no interference from a 2.4 in your house and stuff like that.
But if you were,
is that coincidentally that two standards kind of arose at the same time and now they're in kind of a conflict with each other?
It's just the fact that that certain point, which is somewhat useful, it's just a nice point. It's a nice way to manufacture it from a manufacturing standpoint, and because no one owns it, so no one can complain. Let's take for the ham radio, classic ham radio incident. You sit down, you're going to watch TV. You have neighbors moving in. You turn your TV on. You get all this crazy thatching on your TV and all this crap on your TV. You're like, why is this going on? You realize your neighbor is a ham radio operator. What happened is he starts transmitting and it messes up your TV set because of interference he's producing. What are you going to do about it?
Kick his ass.
Huh?
I'm going to go over there and I'm going to kick his ass and kill his dog.
You can't because a TV along with a shitload of other things these days is what the FCC likes to call, or a lot of people that know the lingo like to call, a Part 15 device. The stink says, what the hell's a Part 15 device?
What the hell's a Part 15 device?
Part 15 device is, if you look at a CD player, any consumer electronic today, that might, in the oddest case, produce some weird-ass, funky radio interference, they slap the sticker on it, turn over your CD player, find some electronic, hold it in your hand, flip it around, you see a sticker. The sticker is printed on almost everything. It says, this device complies with Part 15 device, and it has two rules. Two main rules is, it will never produce interference, and if it ever has interference given to it, it must accept it. So, how is this tying to RFID? Oh, first of all, what about the TV scenario? Since it interferes, you have no recourse, because it has to accept the interference. There's no other thing that was sold to accept the interference, unless, and the other thing is the convenience for the producer of the electronic, so they don't have to go through other bullshit to figure out how to make the thing more shielding and so on. So.
Well, when you there's no legal recourse is what you mean.
Yeah, there's no there's a bunch of illegal recourse, as Stank just mentioned, e.g. killing their dog, but we really don't want to do that. So,
can I kick the dog?
Maybe. You know,
can I spit on the dog?
If he goes on your property, hey, fair game. I'm not a lawyer. And they play one on radio. Anyways, how does this relate to RFIDs? Well, Jaga said in his email, he is kick-ass, by the way. He knows his shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He says RFID, which I thought maybe it was their part-routine device. And as I just said, they can produce interference. They will not produce interference, mind you. They'd be there on the 13.56.
Right.
But they must accept interference.
But doesn't everything have to accept interference?
Yes. There's no there's no difference between this and anything else.
Okay.
So, this goes back to an article I'm going to write soon. You know, it's under wraps. It's covered up, but we'll get to it.
We'll leave. That's 1.3 material.
That's 1.3. You're going to salivate over that stuff. It's cool. Anyways, think Chuck E. Cheese. Anyways, you got your RFID tag here, tiny little thing holding your hand, and it's transmitting itself and its location, not its location, but it's transmitting, I'm in the store right now, and you can build it, as I think Jagger said, without a couple parts, the blocker for it, and as long as it doesn't, isn't overpowering, up to the point where the FCC says, no, you can't do that, and they slap you with a fine. I've heard it happen, and it's painful. They will fine you because you've been transmitting with too much power.
But that's a general FCC rule or FCC law, right? I mean, that's nothing specific to 13.56. But if you try to broadcast anything at too high power, so technically by the letter of the law, it sounds like, would it be, if I were to make a very low-frequency jammer or blocker of some kind?
Oh, same frequency, low power.
Low power.
Yeah, low power. It's a low-frequency device.
Yeah.
Low power.
I misspoke. Low power. I could legally carry that on my person when I go into the stores and jam those signals?
Yes.
And there's no legal recourse they can take or anything they can do about it?
Because they had to accept it. So, as we're going to work on, they're going to roll around with this little device, and they can't do shit because they had to accept the interference, and you're saved. So, let me think here. That's basically the gist of it. So you can have this little thing around here. So another thing about that limit, what I think another part of the law dictates, you can only use the amount of power, like for ham radio operator, that you need to accomplish the task. So if it takes me only a half watt to hit my repeater, then I'm only really allowed to use a half watt. I'm not allowed to use like 500 watts and then overpower the repeater and everything else in the neighborhood and blow up some cats. I mean, it's bad.
Hmm.
So, in any event, yeah, you could, and they can't do anything about it because when they find out that half their shoes are missing because you're standing by the shoes, they can't do anything about it.
So is there a secret frequency at which point cats detonate? Is that what you're...
Well, you know, that's up to speculation because since they're made a lot of water and we're made a lot of water...
Right.
You point at 2.4 gigahertz, that's the resonant frequency of water. All you little kids, you C4X and you little hack and slash, go read about resonant frequency when you get around to physics, which I'll save for the older guys that, since they don't want to go read their textbooks. Resonant frequency is where something vibrates, so like a string on one of Het Bland's guitars, it resonates at a frequency and produces that sound, and with enough power it breaks. So like, you know, when the opera singer breaks the glass, she's at the right frequency for the molecules to vibrate enough to break. So if you aim enough juice at someone at 2.4 gigahertz, the water in their body starts to vibrate, you might melt.
That would suck.
Yeah, that would suck. So, you know, blowing up cats.
Hmm. Boy, you know, how did we... Somehow, we're killing dogs and cats so far in this episode. What? I blame video games and Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Someone else's fault, not mine.
I blame Duel.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I blame Duel, too. I changed my answer. I want to change my answer. Well, how about this? Let me give you a two-part question here. One, if 2.4 is freely available, public, is not reserved for Wi-Fi or for cordless phones or something. A, why didn't they reserve a range to use for this? Why didn't they go through the process of contacting the FCC and saying, I need a bandwidth around this area to develop this technology? And B, since they chose to go in this free open range, why did, if you knew Wi-Fi was coming out, or the cordless phone came first, whichever one, if you knew somebody else was already working and experimenting in 2.4, why not go to 2.5 or 2.44372 or something, you know? Why did they go somewhere where they knew that development was already going on?
Called money.
Well, money's the root of everything, all the problems, but elaborate, please.
All right. As you know, the IEEE, is that a non-for-profit organization? Might be. In any case, they don't have a lot of money. They made that standard, just as Ethernet, just as everything else, for the public, for the net citizens of the world to use. 2.4, the 802.11b part, that law, specification, they're not going to do anything with it. No one owns that. They're not going to go through the trouble of a free thing. So let's say they did. Let's say they went out, they said, okay, FCC, let us have a couple megahertz of bandwidth, and, you know, we'll be happy. Well, they're going to charge you up the ass because somehow they own the airwaves. That's why, like a radio company, broadcast radio, they have to pay a shitload of money every month to the people over the FCC to allow them to use that. And if they mess up, as I mentioned before, they're too much power, they get slapped with a fine. FCC comes down there and say, no. And they hit you in the face, and they stick a sticker on there, and they say, pay us $10,000, or we're suing you for $10,000 because you mess with our stuff.
Wait, where do they put the stick?
On your ass.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Man.
Rips skin off, too.
You know what? I'm gonna stay away from messing around with the airwaves because that stick up the ass sounds kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is worse than the RA because, see, the RA just fakes what they do. These guys actually do this stuff.
You said doo-doo.
Silly.
All right, so let's bring this back down to the specific topic we were talking about, and that's RFID at 13.56. So, to recap, now that we got a good global understanding, and everybody listening, I think that was really a good overall fundamental basis there. Let's come back to the specific example. I can create a low-power device, as long as they don't break FCC limits or rules, and jam anything that is in the publicly accessible area. So can I also, just like jamming 13.56, could I also carry a device to jam 2.4? Since that is also not reserved.
Then you can do whatever you want. Because there's all right.
As long as it's at low power.
You search, what did I search for before? One term, I don't remember. There is a list of all the F's, or you search for Part 15 on Google, and you get some links, and you're looking for, you search Part 15 Law, I think.
Actually, Jaga sent me a good link, too, and maybe I'll, if I remember, I'll try to post that up. That tells all the details about it. So
for Part 15 ARRL, and that gives the ARRLs the radio dudes. They're cool dudes because they really kind of help out with the whole. They're the amateur radio guys. They're kind of like the front man for all of us, all our ham radio operators. Scroll down a wee bit, and about halfway, you get a list of what I like to call the the restricted bands of operation. A, except as shown in the paragraph, and D, of this section, only spurious emissions are permitted in any of the frequency bands listed below. This means if you transmit on here and it's not, if you're intentionally doing it, like I'm going to transmit on whatever and I'm going to mess up with someone, it is illegal. Guess what's not here?
What's that?
13.56.
Surprise!
Guess what also's not here?
2.4.
Exactly. Scroll down some more. We get the, where is it? That's where I saw here. Unlicensed Part 15 bands. Guess what is here?
And what is that?
3.56. 13.56.
13 point, right.
And 2.4.
Alright, so technically, by the letter of the law, there's nothing stopping me from doing what I mentioned earlier. Making a little low-power device, You know, I'll put it on my keychain, carry it around with me everywhere I go so that RFID can't track me.
Exactly.
My own personal little, what do they call those things on Star Trek? Little shield, little, make a little purple, a little invisible bubble around myself where radio frequency or RFID will not affect me.
There you go.
But what if we were to take this a step bigger, a step larger? As long as we stay within that FCC limit, whatever that is, what do you think would be the largest that I could make without getting caught? Could I make one, if I made one smart, big, low enough power, but to block my personal body from RFID tags? I know this is, I'm definitely using poor terminology here, but I'm trying to speak in normal English about this. If I want to protect myself, I make a low power device to block those RFID. What if I wanted to block my entire house? How much power would that take, and will that also be, will I be safe from the FCC if I powered my house? What if I powered my neighborhood to protect them from RFID? What if I powered my city? Where is that power limit, based on your experience and your estimation? You know, how much could I, as a single individual, protect without crossing the FCC's boundaries and getting the stick up my ass?
I'm looking now. Oh, it's all very, it comes down to the point of where you're transmitting, how much you're transmitting, or 2 points, where you're transmitting, how much. If you're transmitting a wide band, so you're covering like 10 megahertz, it's really powerful, yeah, they're going to find you pretty quick.
Okay.
Now, if you're transmitting at a single frequency, pretty high power, it might take a little longer, like you're doing a pirate radio.
Right.
If you're transmitting low power, it's very hard. They say here, a definition, high-power intentional radiators. These devices are authorized as intentional emitters, as in they're going to transmit on this, and they're meant to. On some bands, 2.3 gigahertz using spread spectrum, 2.4 gigahertz spread spectrum, that's what a Wi-Fi card is.
Right.
A lot of phones, for better quality, for example, they can use up to levels of 1 watt. That's what you hear on all the boards, don't go over 1 watt.
1 watt.
Yeah. But it's high power.
So with 1 watt of power, if that's the theoretical limit here.
That's the high. I'm still looking for another limit. But yeah, go off of that.
Just for argument's sake, I take whatever the limit is. Let's just say it's 1 for ease of talking about it. I can, using that much power, block 13.56 as far as I can on 1 watt and protect as many people as I can from being tracked.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yep.
On the same token, if I wanted to be, if I wanted to be disruptive, if I wanted to cause trouble, if I wanted to cross a line, I could go to, say, let's say Walmart did go back on with the RFID in retail. I could sit in a parking lot and jam their whole building up.
Right, sounds like it when the law says.
Or is there going to be? I bet you there's some other law that's going to cover them from doing it. Of course, if you get caught, assuming you get caught.
I'm looking for right now.
But you could probably go in and mess them up for 10 or 15 minutes before they ever figure out. Probably longer than that. They don't know what the hell's going on. And on the same token, even worse, if you really wanted to sabotage a business or something like that, not that I'm condoning going out and doing this, we're speaking from the standpoint of knowledge here, what you could and couldn't do, and the possibilities are, I could build a jammer with that same one limit and go and aim for 2.4 and take down their wireless network. Is that true?
Yep.
So if, you know, whoever, I don't know, Walmart or... we've been bashing on Walmart a lot. We've already got Project Walmart Freedom. Let's go with Target or somebody else. If I wanted to go, they pissed me off. They didn't give me that wonderful job I wanted mopping the floors on third shift. I could go in there and I could aim at their 2.4 and jam their registers or whatever their wireless is. And by the letter of the law, by the limits of the technology, that could be done. And it wouldn't be that difficult.
Well, it'd be difficult to, you know, make that transmitter, but after that, no.
Right. Well, that's you know, a really cool possibility, but do you think any of these people are aware of that vulnerability and the possibility that they could be taken down that easily?
I would think.
I don't know. I don't think they would be.
Once this is spread spectrum, crap.
If I were to go to one of these places and do that, I don't think they'd have a clue what was going on. They'd be rebooting the servers, and they'd be calling all kinds of places. They wouldn't have a clue what was causing it and that potential was there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you told them after the fact, they still probably wouldn't get it, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully a lot of our listeners did. I'm sure they did. Wow, that was really good. That was some good information there.
Transmission systems must meet the same requirements as direct sequence spread spectrum arrays, including maximum power of up to 1 watt, dependent on equal... yeah, 1 watt sounds like their limit. And...
But what about intent? If my intent is malicious, does it matter?
I don't see anything that's more criminal, but, I mean, I don't see any difference.
I mean, obviously, if I'm sitting in the parking lot of a retail establishment or something with that device, I mean,
I can't... A bar's going to go, but if you were close enough to jam it, then, yeah, they really couldn't do anything because you're limited to 1 watt.
Right. So...
And have Jogger, you know, just email one of us, give us a scoop. I'm pretty sure it's 1 watt. Maybe it's less, maybe it's more, but if you transmit 1 watt, I don't think they can touch you.
Well, again, the other thing is, if they want you, they're going to get you. We've talked about that several times, too. They'll make some shit up if they really want to get you.
They'll be like, oh, you interfered with this microwave over here, and it killed people. So
oh, yeah, that's terrorist activity, and we're going to put you in the terrorism watch, or, you know, they can make shit up all they want.
Yeah, let's keep rolling with here. We got some more show notes.
Yeah, that's, well, you know what, that's good stuff. I think this is already shaping up to be a great show, and we haven't really gotten into any of the news or topics or anything like that. Actually, I still haven't talked about, and there's no point spending a lot of time on this, but the listeners probably know by now that we've updated the forums with new software. I was two generations behind in the software because there were some vulnerabilities that I wanted to avoid in the previous version. So I waited until this third version, 1.2, came out of Envision Forums, Envision Board Software, and I just updated. There are some vulnerabilities to it, but they're minor cosmetic. There's nothing, you know, detailed. So I waited until that was stable before I upgraded to that. So we added a lot of new features. Most important, I think, the one I like the best is the new calendar. I added all the radio shows I could think of quickly, and Bland is going to be doing a lot of work. Bland Inquisitor is going to be doing a lot of work updating them and adding stuff like trying to work on some skins and do a lot of moderating on that. But adding that calendar I thought was phenomenal because now I can look on that calendar and know what show is on at what time and what date and when conventions are coming up. I've already added up to the end of this year for most of the things I could think of, most of the stuff that I keep an eye on and watch for. 2600 meetings are out there to remind you. You can practically, I don't know offhand if there's a print function, but it would be great if I could print that calendar off each month, beginning of the month, print it off and kind of look forward or look ahead to what's coming up. So I really like the calendar feature. There's some other minor just administrative features that help us out a lot on our end, and the only thing is we got to get a new skin. That default skin, that white, is just really intense on me right now. I want to get some darker colors in there, so I'm real happy with the new forums. Also, I have a little mini rant here to go on too. This week I had a video file that I wanted to watch. And yeah, I wanted to watch it pretty damn bad. I would have to want to watch it pretty damn bad to install this. But the damn thing, it was in real media. It was in real media format. It was a RM, real movie. And, yeah, I wanted to watch it, so I broke down. I swore this new machine, I wasn't going to install Reel on it, but it's the only way I could get this. And I had to install Reel. And, oh, it just reminded me how fucking bad I hate real media. I hate real networks. I hate real player. I hate everything that they do. I don't know why people use this thing, but it's just sickening. Anyway, I had this video, just a little clip, and I wanted to watch it, and I went to Reel.com to download the stupid free player. Well, good luck trying to find the free player. When you get there, everything that pops up is free trial, free this, free... I clicked on the big, you know, what are you going to go to that site for? To download the fucking player. Damn it, I'm using the F word again. To download, well, fuck it, I am going to use the F word. I'm going to download that fucking player, because that's what it is. And, of course, the big picture, click here to download. Well, it turns out that's a 14-day trial of the full-blown version. I guess the full Reel player you pay for on a monthly whatever to get access. Well, I don't want that shit. I just want one that I can play my local RM files in. I want the free one. And it's so freaking hard to find it on their site. They don't want you to find it. They want to sucker you into paying for it. If you don't read carefully and you just start clicking, you see free download, click here. They want your name, your address, your email, and, you know, and I'm clicking through it. I also, it fooled me a little bit. I'm like, all right, what do you want on this shit? I'm putting in garbage name, email address, I don't care, I just want to download it. And it gets to the point where I wanted a credit card number. Now, why in the hell would you want a credit card number for free software? That's when I realized, oh, this isn't free, this is their full version, the free trial. So they want my credit card number to download this so they can start charging me after 14 days. I had to go back to the homepage and dig around and find this tiny little link that says click here for the free version of Real Player and download it. And then, I swear to God, they want every bit of information about you just to download this shit. They want your life story, they want your name, your address. I mean, I thought I was going to have to fax in a photocopy of my dick to get a copy of this fucking software. So once I install the damn thing, I always go to custom install. I want to see what everything's doing behind the scenes. Well, for God's sake, whatever you do, go to custom install on Real, because the default install installs so much shit on your computer and so many options. When you go over there, they want to install links to this on your desktop. They want to put it in your start menu. They want to put it in your quick launch bar. They want to install fucking AOL software and AOL links and... Get the shit off my fucking computer! I hate this software. I absolutely hate Real. I despise them. And damn it, I hate it when I don't have a choice. If I wanted to watch this thing, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make one of my boxes a disposable box. And every month or two, I'm just going to wipe it, reinstall everything from scratch. I'm just going to leave that box over there that in case I have to install stupid shit software like Real, I'll install it over there and then wipe it out later. Because I just do not want this thing to stay on my system all the time. It's evil. It's just evil, evil software from an evil company.
Guess the worst movie of all time is...
What's that?
Guess what the worst movie of all time is rated by...
IMDb.com?
Giggly,
whatever the hell that movie. I saw that. Somebody sent me an email of that.
Giggly. And the next one? From Justin Achille. Good show.
You know what? As much as you guys make fun of me for being a fan of American Idol, I would never spend my money to go see that crappy movie. I mean, come on. I watch it because it's on the TV and it's free, you know, and I sit there and people are saying it's better than watching a lot of the other garbage that's on TV. So I take a lot of flack from Duel and Mute about it. But even I know better than to go see Justin Achille movie. Come on.
That got 2,657 votes. And that's a 1.4 rating, but Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Great movie.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Oh, that's a stinkorama, dude. That's an old black and white.
It's got a
sci-fi thing.
It's got a rating of 1.6, but it's got more votes. So someone thought it was good and threw the balance off.
It's one of those movies that's so bad it's good. You know, that's a Mystery Science Theater movie. A lot of those, Mystery Science Theater, that's what they do.
They finally...
For the Misties out there who already know, but for some of you don't, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is a show where they parody these old, I wouldn't say parody, these old, old, really bad movies. And trust me, they find the stinkiest of the stinkiest movies that you can find.
They take the movie, and then at the bottom you'll see these chairs. It's like just superimposed on there, and then you see the three guys. They're supposed to be, it's just the stupid story about it's so stupid. Basically, they just harass the movie and add little comments in it.
Yeah, that's all they need. There is a little silly story, but yeah, basically they heckle they're not really heckling, they're just sitting there, three guys, watching a movie, and they just talk, and they go, you know what? This movie's really bad, and they basically make fun of it, they point out stupid flaws in the movie, and, you know, just the funniest comments, and it's hilarious. And it makes bad movies good. It makes them watchable. Anybody that can watch Manos, Hands of Fate without the Mystery Science Theater overlay, that's also what's great about... This is something... They do a good job with DVD. This is what DVD is for. They overlay the Mystery Science Theater stuff on the movie. Technically, Mystery Science Theater DVDs, you can watch the regular version of the movie and the mystified version of the movie, which I think is really cool.
cool.
I don't know anybody
who the hell
could,
would not watch it with that, but...
Yeah, I don't know who could watch Manos Hands of Fate without the Misty version on it, because it's god-awful. It's bizarre. The little goat guy and this guy's supposed to be the evil boss guy, and he's got these big handprints, and oh, I don't know. I don't even know where to go. If anybody out there hasn't seen Manos Hands of Fate, I recommend it. Go check it out.
This Manos, this movie, it is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 copy of it.
Well, they probably list it as... They, like I said, they purposely pick bad movies, so...
The first user comment about this, so bad the actress committed suicide the same year it was made.
Oh, I don't know if that's true. I hope not. That's not... let's go from a bad topic. Let's go from the bad movie to something good that I watched, actually. Nick 84 taped this for me because I am a big fan of George Orwell. I love George Orwell's work, and on the BBC they had a documentary, a fake documentary, for lack of a better term, and I can't get that over here because my cable company sucks rhinoceros ass. So Nick was good enough to record it for me, and I just watched that this weekend, and it was wonderful, wonderful documentary. And the reason I say it's a fake documentary is because there is no real video or audio footage of George Orwell or Eric Blair. There's no actual footage. No one knows what he looks like or sounds like other than a few pictures and his memoirs and his writings. So they had an actor who played George Orwell, and they mixed it in with footage of... They did have footage and interviews with family and friends and relatives and things like that interspersed in, and any time that George Orwell was on the screen, it was the actor, but every word was written by Orwell in one of his writings or something like that. So every quote and every interview that he gave was his actual words, but we have no way of knowing what he actually sounded like or looked like on video because it doesn't exist. They were able to make this full-length documentary, I think it was like an hour and a half or something like that, of a person that we don't know. It was just, it's just amazing to me. We don't know that this man exists, per se, if it wasn't for his writing and records of him. And I thought that was just amazing. They did an excellent job, and I learned a lot of stuff I did not know about Orwell. What I know about him is what I've read in his novels. And 1984, of course, a classic, one of the greatest, if not the greatest novel ever written, and Animal Farm, another fantastic novel, which I haven't read since high school, but geez, watching this and seeing kind of a biography, a history of what he went through in his life and stuff, I see now a lot of relevance of where he got these ideas from and how he developed these ideas and concepts. So it was really, really well done. If anybody has the opportunity to see this, if you get BBC, if you live in England or you live somewhere outside of here where you can get access to it, definitely check that out. It was definitely worth watching. I don't know. I guess you can probably figure out there. I'm sure they'll re-air it just like they do in the United States. I'm sure they rerun stuff. But really good. Check that out. I'm actually thinking of writing. I actually started writing a review of it. I don't know if people are going to be interested in reading a review because it's over here in the United States anyway. It's very obscure. It's going to be tough to get a hold of to watch it. So maybe... I wonder if I'm going to look for the next episode. I'm going to look between now and next episode to see if there's a way to order it on videotape or DVD or something like that. Of course, you'd need a region-free player because of all the... I'm not even going to go there. We still haven't gotten into real topics. I have one more thing to talk about. Finally, we've been dragging this out and talking about this for a long time, a year now, even more. Hack TV. Well, finally... Hack TV is coming. I promise this time. It is coming. I have seen, and you have also seen, you can verify this for the people, it exists. We have a pilot. We have a teaser. We have a trailer, whatever you want to call it. We have footage. We have all the test footage. Duel has gotten a lot of recordings. Mute's done some recordings. I've done some stuff. Basically, we've used those. We've been learning. We've been trying to figure out the whole video editing. Saitu, who's doing most of it for us, doing wonderful work. and we finally got our standards together. We know how we're going to do it and approach it, and we are actually finally filming legitimate footage for Hack TV. So anybody out there that wants to send stuff in, get in touch with me. Look in the forums in the Hack TV and in the Hacker Media section on the forums, and you will find instructions and details of how to get these uploaded and where to put them and stuff like that. It is coming soon. Hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully sometime in September we will have something out. We will have the first episode out. And you saw the trailer. What did you think?
It was okay. You know, it's just the three movies that everyone has seen before.
But we put them together. We had a little fun with it. We made them funny. And we have an intro. We have some openings, some graphics and stuff like that. So, and the thing is, there are a bunch of different formats, and getting them all to work together, that's kind of the hardest part. So, I was very happy with it. I was very impressed. So,
this is what stopped the first Hack TV.
Exactly. Well, I guess this is still the first. It's just an ongoing pain in the ass. Boy, we're real low. I'm going to jump into a couple quick topics. We might have to save some of this stuff for next week, obviously. I think you realize that.
We save everything here next week.
Well, no, we don't. This one was from last week, and I wanted to talk about it then. I definitely am going to talk about it now, even though running low on time. There is a new bill from two Democratic congressmen, Howard Berman, who should get the permanent. I should give him like the honorary fucknut of the month, fucknut of the century award because
he's honorary if he earned it.
Yeah, well, you're right. He earned it. He's like the fucknut of the century then, because he's always
Time magazine. This will do. The fourth of every release of Ben Rev. One a year. It's like Time's Man of the Year.
Yeah, we can have the fuck out of the year.
Yeah.
And put him on the cover. Would we get sued if we used his likeness? I'm sure they'd come after us.
But we'll make a caricature.
Well, I don't know. He's a public figure. I don't think
I don't think there's any law against that.
Yeah. I don't know. We might have to look into that. That could be a plan. We never did follow up. We were going to actually make up T-shirts that says, I am the winner of the DDP Fucknut of the Month Award, and we were going to actually find their address and mail it to them. And I don't know if we're still going to do that or not. That's wasting money sending them a shirt for being an asshole.
Who knows? They might wear it.
Yeah, it'd be funny if we could actually videotape it somehow and see what their reaction, but since that's probably not really possible, no point in wasting. This is Howard Berman and John Conyers Jr. have introduced a bill that would make, and this is mind-boggling. I'm going to end with this topic before we... because this is a great ending topic. It's going to piss me off. I'm going to get all worked and bent out of shape, worked up. They have introduced a bill that would make uploading a single unauthorized upload of a copywritten work, such as a song, MP3 basically is what this is. That's what he's always whining and bitching about. They have introduced a bill that would make one upload a felony. A felony! If you upload a song and this bill passes, you are a felon. Not a misdemeanor, not a slap on the wrist, you are a felon. Federal pound me in the ass prison felon. For uploading a song. I don't know what runs through these people's heads. This thing is called... what is the name of this thing? It's called the Author, Consumer, and Computer Owner Protection and Security Act of 2003. And the rationale behind this, they claim that uploading one song could cost the copyright owner thousands of dollars in lost revenue. This meets the 10-copy, $2,500 threshold for felonious copyright infringement and U.S. copyright law. Now, once again, I've talked about this before. The internet is borderless. The U.S. copyright laws, I don't know how they're going to reach out to other countries. But just the concept of this is mind-numbing to me. They want to punish us, and they're trying. I mean, when I say they want to, they want to. They are trying to pass this bill. They spent time. These are people that we put in office and we voted into office. Well, not we. Somebody did. To spend our tax money and our time to make this law, and this is what they came up with. They want to punish us for something that could happen. It might happen. It might be uploaded by somebody. It might be downloaded and cause this. They're going to punish us for something that we have not done. We might do. It might not happen. Who knows if they download it for me or somebody else or 5,000 other people's. Their rationale is that it's going to cost... It could cost the copyright owner, blah, 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 blah. They're making assumptions on intent and predicting the future. Now, this is about MP3s that they're focusing on. This is their solution. Where does this stop? You know, if I go to the store and buy, I don't know, fertilizer or something, does that mean I could use that to make some type of explosive? So therefore, let's put me as a felon too. Anybody that buys fertilizer, you're a felon. If you buy charcoal, you're a felon. If you buy fireworks, you're a felon because you might do something bad with them, and we don't want you to do that. Because I'm Howard Berman, and I don't want you to do anything wrong, so I'm going to stop it. Wasn't there a movie? Wasn't there some sci-fi movie with, what's his name, the Jerry Maguire guy? What's his name?
Tom Cruise?
Yeah, wasn't there a movie where
Minority Report.
Where they arrested him for something he was going to do in the future or something like that?
Yeah. They knew he was going to do it from the crazy predictor people.
I never saw the movie, but Well, it's not a movie anymore. They are trying to arrest us for something that might happen. It could happen. Sure, it could. And monkeys could fly out of my ass. That doesn't mean you're going to, you know, I'm not going to tape my ass shut. That could get painful after a while. These people are predicting the future, and they're going to punish us for something that we haven't done, might not ever do, might not even be, you know, I'm getting worked up. I knew I was going to get, I can't fucking believe this. What kind of pathetic country do we live in? What kind of civilization do we live in where if this gets passed, where they're punishing us for something that could happen or might happen, or this is devastating. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I know what their intent is. I know the whole copyright, you know, there's both sides to the story, and I'm not justifying or authorizing either side. I'm not taking a side. I'm not even debating the topic. But it is mind-numbingly stupid to punish somebody for something that they have not done, that they might do, that they could do. Oh, I think he might. You know what? I think you might come over here and shoot me in my sleep tonight. I think I'm going to call the authorities and have you arrested because you might do that. This is ridiculous. It's absolutely sickening. And they are pushing this, and they're spending our tax money to do it. This is what they spend their time on. I'm amazed. I'm just almost speechless. I'm never speechless, but I can't say the F word enough to describe how I feel about this bastard. Ugh. And you know, and let's put it in perspective. Let's put this in perspective. Besides the fact that they're predicting your future punishing, let's put this in perspective. What are you doing here? You're uploading a song. Big fucking deal. Christina Aguilera is still going to make $50 bazillion with the bubblegum pop bullshit, regardless of whether these songs are being passed around. Record sales are as high as they've ever been. Record sales are still perfectly fine. Nobody has stopped making money. Everything is still going honky-dory, just like it always has. They're going to punish you as a felon, yet drug dealers and child molesters get three strikes and out. You're out rules.
Here's another problem here.
What's wrong with this picture when we let drug dealers roam the streets or get off with a slap on the wrist or have technicalities? We have stricter laws for fucking MP3s than we do to protect the hardworking American citizens in this country from legitimate threats. We're spending our time on MP3s. And why? Because the RIAA throws money at these politicians, and they spend their time getting that money and working for them instead of working for the fucking people, which is what they were hired to do.
There's another problem here.
Shoot, there's so many problems. Go ahead.
All right, so you know, you got your... First of all, not everyone in the world... I can guarantee that not the many people that have, because do not outnumber the people that have a CD player. Many more people have CD players and broadband, and very less have either broadband internet access and all the stuff to effectively do this. There's still so many people that aren't using it.
Yeah, it's a fraction of a percentage. It's such a small 0.000.
It's not affecting anything.
Yeah, I mean,
the worst it's affecting is the internet bandwidth in general. more people complain about the fact that I can't get online and download pertinent information than downloading the two Teeny Bop crap.
Yeah, you know, I heard on the radio, on Clear Channel, I'm sure it probably fucking was, one of the radio stations on my car driving home the other day, I heard a commercial for Bell South DSL. Bell South DSL, always on, high-speed access. Now you can get online and do your online banking. You can check on bills. You can check on this. You can download MP3s. Wait a minute, what? Are you putting a commercial on the radio to download MP3s? Isn't that illegal? How can this company sell that as a marketing ploy when, on the other hand, they're fighting and saying, I guess they meant public domain free MP3. I'm sure they didn't mean peer-to-peer of any kind. I'm sure that's not what they insinuated, right? And just like this, you know, I went into this real bad. I'm gonna stay calm. Hold on, I'm gonna stay calm. Last RFA, I went off on this. RespectCopyrights.org. I saw this commercial again on television. Ben Affleck, okay, and he's getting on there and he gave the same spiel about how the hardworking set designers aren't making the money because we're pirating this. First of all, I don't even do it. I hate watching movies on the computer. So this doesn't even really hit home to me as far as, you know, I'm a big pirate and that's why I'm mad. Couldn't care less. I just don't like the point. I think it's not a valid point. They're going to blame, you know, okay, the set designer and the painter and the costume, blah, blah, blah. You know, his line was something like this. He said, not everybody in Hollywood is a highly paid actor or producer. Some of them are set designers and they're trying to make a living, blah, blah, blah. I want to interrupt him and go, wait a minute, but excuse me, Mr. Affleck, you made like $10 million on Giggly Jiggly, right? Oh, no, that's not the point. That's not the point, Mr. Dog. That's not the point at all. What I'm trying to tell you is that not everybody is high-paid producer or actor. There are many people. Oh, excuse me, but you are a high-paid actor, am I correct? Well, yes, I am, but that's not important here. Oh, I think it is important. That's the whole point. I tell you what, why don't you take a fraction of your money that you made for this bomb, okay? They're going to blame it on piracy or something, I bet you. The small 0.000% of people who know how and have the technical ability to pirate movies, that small percentage of them, has put such a tiny dent in the profits of that movie that it's not even a blip on the radar. They have spent more money marketing against it with these commercials and the internet site and the bandwidth and all this shit that they're putting. They spent millions of dollars in lobbying the government. All that money, I tell you what, instead of spending money to make these commercials and all this shit, give it to the set designer. Split it up equally amongst all the people that you claim are being ripped off. If you're sincere and you think that's what's getting hurt, and if they're sincere that the people that are getting hurt are that, give them that money that you're spending wasting on this propaganda. Give them the money. Mr. Affleck, you made $10 million. Tell you what, why don't you cut it down to $9.9 million, and you take that money and you divide it amongst all these people that you say are getting ripped off. You still make $9.9 million. The producer still makes. People are still making money. The problem is that they're not sharing it. They're blaming it on these pirates, on these people downloading movies. They're blaming it on that people like that, when the problem is, no, you're giving the money to the wrong people. That's your fault. You have resource management problems if you're not paying your people properly. You need to take a class in resource management or management in general and distribute the wealth more evenly and more properly and quit blaming someone else for your inadequacies. Ugh, that wasn't even in the notes. That just came out of nowhere. I thought I got it all out of my system on RFA, and I guess I didn't. I think I do now. I hope I do.
And on that note,
yeah, I guess it is. We're gonna bump a lot of news. Next time we're gonna hit a lot of news.
Management.
Yeah, we're gonna hit a lot of news. I guess that's it. Do you have any shouts? You want to shout out to anybody? Because I think we're not too bad on time. By the time we mix it, we're all right.
I'm too tired.
All right. Well, I'm gonna shout out again. Saitu, working on Hack TV. I think it's gonna be great. I guess Mute's not as enthused about it as I am, but I think it's gonna be great. He's just mad because he wasn't in the pilot. That's all.
Exactly.
And that's, you know why you're not? Because I went to your site and tried to download it, and it's not there anymore, or you've moved it or something.
What did I? Oh yeah. No, it's still there. It has to be.
I looked and couldn't find it, or I would have mixed it.
No, it isn't. You're right. No, you can't put that up.
Why not?
Too dangerous.
Aye. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that after the show. So, yeah, shout out to Saitu. He's working on Hack TV. That'll be up very soon, so thanks a lot to him. Letters@benrev.com if you want to give us some feedback. And that's it. So, Mute, how do we end?
Same hack time.
Same hack channel. Peace out.
Hey.
Oh, and our closing music for tonight is a beat I just found at the last minute, actually. I bumped the other music I was going to play when I found this. It's from Auditory, mp3.com/auditory. Check it out. The song is called Walking in Wonder World. Check it out. I'm